Let's see. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. Is that clean? Is it not? Is it clean? What about that throat lounge? Is it clean? God is so good to us, isn't he? Have you ever been on a hot tin roof? No? I feel like I'm up there right now. I'm just about as nervous as a tomcat on a hot tin roof. But we're going to make it. I want to ask you a question tonight, and the question is there a difference between salvation and being born again? Is there a difference between salvation and be born again? Now, let's look in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, so let's see what goes on here. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miracles, signs, are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Explained Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. See, human beings can produce human beings, but God can only produce a spiritual birth. And we need to be born again. We need to be saved and born again. Nicodemus thought Jesus was talking about a physical rebirth, but Jesus was talking about spiritual birth. We must have a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth recognized by being born again. Have you been born again? No response. Who said that? Okay, good. The Greek word translated born again is also found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, born again, new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 of that chapter, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed, unfringed means genuine, sincere love for the brethren. When you're born again, the Bible teaches us that we'll be lovers of each other. We'll be sincere lovers of each other. Lovers of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. With a pure heart fervently. Very enthusiastically or passionately. There should be evidence. That's my water. That's not my water. Wait a minute. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of unperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. All praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. Amen. It's by His mercy that we have been born again. The word saves saved is found many times in the New Testament. Let us look at two examples concerning salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 31. We're going to read about Paul and Silas having been in prison in Philippi. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prisons were shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights, and he ran to the dungeon and fell trembling at Paul and Silas' feet. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Something has happened in the prison. God has come and shown himself. There's something real about this singing and about this praying that's different than the jailer had ever heard before. And because of the experience, the earthquake and the doors being opened and the prisoners had freedom to leave, they didn't leave because God would not allow them to leave. He was speaking to the jailer. And the jailer heard God speak. And when you hear God speak, you must respond in a positive way and get saved. You've been there. You've done that. God has spoken to you, and you've gotten saved. Great things have happened in your life, and you're so excited about your salvation. You're so excited about your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're so excited about what God has done, and even more excited about what God is going to do. Amen? We're excited about what God is doing for us because we have been born again. We've been saved. We've been transformed. God has done a new work in us. We're a new individual. We're new people. We're God's family. We're here tonight because we love Jesus. The word saved is found many times in the New Testament. The jailer called for the lights to be turned on. He went to the dungeon part of the jail. The worst part of the jail that existed is where Paul and Silas were. They were there. They were saved. They were filled with the Spirit. And they were singing praises to God, even though they were in the worst place they could have been in. They praised the Lord. We cannot respond to our conditions. We must always praise the Lord. We must always be people who praise the Lord. We can see in these sets of passages that that being born again is the same as being saved. Both terms refer to the spiritual process of being accepted into God's family. Being accepted into God's family. You have been accepted into God's family. You're part of God's family. You are of royalty. Most of us don't understand that. But being the king's kid is the best thing that can happen to you. I'm the king's kid. Jesus Christ is my brother and God is my father. And the Holy Spirit is with me to lead me and to guide me. I've been born again. I've been saved. Amen. Now, what happens when one is saved or born again? What happens to that individual? There has to be some evidence. There's no born again experience. There has to be some evidence or there's no salvation experience. You have to understand there has to be a change. Something has to happen when you accept Jesus Christ. And if nothing happens, then there may be an issue that you need to come back and find out why nothing's happened. Make sure you do your first works over again. That's a good thing to do sometimes. See, let's look at Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of Christ, went to the high priest and asked him for the letters of the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging in the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now let me stop for just a moment. When we begin to be critical of our brother or our sister, when we begin to talk negative about a brother or our sister, we're persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was persecuting the Christians. And Jesus said, "You are persecuting me." So if you persecute God's people, if you run down God's church, then you're persecuting Jesus Christ. And that's a sin, and it needs to be forgiven of. You need to be reborn and start all over again. Praise God. I wish I had a drink of water. I don't want anything out of that bottle. Oh, Darlene told me a while ago, she said, "You won't be able to golf with a preacher tomorrow. But he's looking pretty good. He's feeling pretty good. I think by in the morning he'll be able to challenge a few golf balls, don't y'all?" Something about Monday morning. Verse 6, "But get up and enter the city. You will be told what you need to do." Now, Saul has been telling everybody what to do. He's been persecuting God's children. So now, Paul gets knocked off his horse and a sound from heaven. And then the voice from heaven, the Lord, came to Saul and said, "Now you're going to be told what to do." See, when you're born again, God has the authority and the right and the privilege to tell you what to do. And when he tells you what to do, the only thing you can do is do what he said do. Do it. Amen. Just do it. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go." You know, God can be bold when he speaks to you. Get up and go, Ananias. Get up and go. God is very direct when he speaks to his people oftentimes. He told Paul, go to a street called Straight, and I'll tell you what to do. Now he's telling Ananias, "You go." Folks, we're led by the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. God wants things to be done, and he uses his people to get it done. That's you and I. And so when we hear the voice of the Lord, the only responsibility we have is to listen and obey. That's because we've been born again. We're now a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Get up and go to the street called Straight, at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he's praying. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now, Ananias has got to answer back to the Holy Spirit like we all do. Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. Ray Charles fits in here. It's crying time again. Verse 14, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, go. How many times have we had excuses when God has simply asked us to do something? We very much understand what God is asking us to do, but we don't want to do it. The only thing left for God to do is say, go. Go, Ananias. Don't you worry about anything. I'm going to take care of you. Hallelujah. That's God's responsibility. It's our responsibility to move. It's our responsibility to obey. But it's God's responsibility to take care of us. And he always has, and he always will. He'll never let you down. He'll be there for you every time. You don't have to worry about anything. Just do and go what God says. For he is an instrument. God says, go. For he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I have chosen him. He's been born again. You understand? He's a changed being. He's a new person. His mind has been changed. His thinking has been changed. His stature has even changed. Paul is not the cocky person he used to be. He's been knocked off his horse. He was blind. For 3 days he didn't eat and he couldn't see. He's a different person. Sometimes God has to knock us off our horse. Have you ever been knocked off your horse? I don't mean literally, but I mean, has God ever come by and just slapped you upside the head and say, what's going on in your life? Can't you hear me? Listen to me. Go. We got to go. Are you going? Wait a minute. But Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and the evil that he's done. I ain't going. He said, go, for he's an instrument. I've chosen him. He's praying. Verse 16, I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Now, wait a minute. Paul was knocked off his horse because he was persecuting God's people. You understand? He had the authority to persecute God's people. Now, he's my servant. I have appointed him for a mission. And I want you to know, he's going to suffer. Paul is going to suffer. He's going to suffer for the sake of my name. He's going to suffer for the sake of my name. Folks, if we're really born again and we're serving God, there are going to be times when we have to suffer. I wish somebody just holler, amen. I don't care where it's from. Just get it. You give me one, would you? Give me a good one. Come on. Hey, man, come on up here. Get back behind me. That's kind of like a coon hunter hollered, "Zeke him." Amen. Hang in there. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to me, who appeared to you on the way, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Can you remember when you were born again? Can you remember when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? How you could see things differently. I can remember when God saved me. I began to see things differently. I was a foreman in the Firestone Tire and Rubber plant in Illinois when I got saved. And the more the people did, the more I made. So I made sure that they did all they were able to do because it rewarded me. And the first night I went back to work after I got saved, I looked around and everything had changed. Honestly, people had changed. I couldn't believe the change. And the people, I couldn't believe the change in their attitude, their spirit, their disposition. I couldn't believe it. And I realized, it's me. You see, I changed. God put a new heart in me when I was born again. Hallelujah is right. He put a new heart. I had a new vision. I had a new mindset. Everything was new when I gave my life to Christ. And I have suffered many sufferings for the cause of Christ. But let me tell you tonight, nothing that I've ever gone through that I wouldn't go through again for the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Have you been there? So, and immediately, the scales fell from his eyes. He began to see differently than he had seen before. The best thing can ever happen to an individual is to find Jesus Christ. We run from him. We dodge him. But folks, you can't hide from Jesus. No matter where you go, if he wants you, he'll be there. No matter where you go. So now Paul is a preacher. He went from a person persecuting Christians to being now a preacher. He's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's been a transformation. Have you been born again? Has your life changed drastically since you accepted Jesus Christ? For several days, the disciples in Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. "He's the Son of God," he said. "All who hear were amazed," he said. "It's not this man who murdered and made havoc in Jerusalem among those invoke this name. Something has happened. He's changed. This is not the same person." But he has to suffer. He has to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. They were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him in to the apostles and described to them how he was met the Lord on the road to Damascus. So they accepted him, and he went in and out of Jerusalem, speaking boldly the name of the Lord. When the believers learned, that they were after him to kill him, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. You see, we have an enemy. You have an enemy. Each one of us have an enemy. And it's Satan. He's a great tempter. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He makes things look good that aren't good. He makes things look appetizing that are not appetizing. He makes you feel you need, but you don't need it. He makes you think you want it, but you really don't. See, the devil is a great deceiver. But once you've been born again, God is your Savior. God is your Lord. And God is your army. And that's all you need. One thing for sure, when you get saved or born again, you're not the same. You cannot be born again and be the same. You cannot be born again and go back to the same old habits. You can't be born again and go back to the same old people, the same old crowd. You can't do that. You've not been born again. You may have come and said a prayer, but it didn't mean anything to you. You went right back and doing the things that you did before you prayed. Folks, I did some things I shouldn't have done when I was in the world. But when I came to Jesus Christ, I no longer wanted to do those things. I no longer wanted to go to those places. I was a changed individual. My outlook on life was different. God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of me. And I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad I listened. I'm so glad I responded positively. I'm so happy tonight that God transformed this old boy. Came out of West Virginia, 17 years old. Had no idea what a city block was. Went to Niagara Falls, New York. I didn't know what a city block was. You go ahead and laugh. It's all right. I didn't know that even numbers were on one side of the street and odd numbers on the other side of the street. I had no idea. I was from the woods. Jaybird Holler. I'll take you there if you want to go. It's a beautiful place. I had a lot to learn. But when I found Jesus, I realized you got a lot to learn about Jesus. You know, Jesus is everywhere present. You know that? Everywhere present. You know, Achan thought if he took a little gold, a little silver, and hid it in his tent, God wouldn't know it. God sees everything. God sees everything. You can't hide from God. So don't try. You know, when you purchase a new car or a Lexus, a Lexus without a navigation system? No way. But when you purchase something new, it's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it? It's really exciting. Man, you brag about it. You tell everybody about it. What happens in about a year or two? Or maybe 6 months? The joy wears off. The excitement, it becomes part of the family, part of the collection. Amen? You see, if we're not careful, our relationship with Jesus can become the same way. We get saved. We're born again. Everything's new. Everything's great. We testify. We tell people we got saved. What happens down the road a ways? We quit talking about our relationship with Jesus. We quit giving our testimony. We become quiet. If we're not careful, we can grow cold in our relationship with Jesus. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I was listening to a song this evening on the internet, and the song went on to say, I owe it all to Jesus. If I'm anything, all the praise to Him I give. If I can be used some way to help someone, any good found in me, I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to Jesus. Amen.